Welcome to Calvary Chapel Sebastian Podcast. We believe that God's Word transforms our lives. We hope that you're blessed by this message.
Okay, well, you're going to need a Bible. We'll be studying the Word of God. And so if you need a Bible, raise your hand, and the guest services will put a Bible in your hand. Raise it high. You don't want to look at me. You'll be bored. And I'm going to be pointing you to Scripture all night anyway, so it's good to get our eyes on that. And if you don't have a Bible, if that's the Bible that you have, take it home with you. Put your name on it before you leave and take it home. That's our gift to you. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. By the way, I feel like I have not been up here for so long. We've had like these special events every Wednesday. By the way, how'd the youth do last Wednesday? Right? Yeah, I asked Nick to record it. I think he's going to slam me a recording of that. I just was not able to come. I was not feeling good, but I feel better. Thanks for your prayers. I know Pastor Joey had you guys pray for us, my family, and that, but we're all back in the saddle. But I'm really, really impressed with the youth, and I'm really excited for what they're doing. So thank you, Heather, and please give my thanks to everybody who was involved in that as well, okay? Thank you, parents, for stretching your kids to be the church of tomorrow. So, all right, Matthew chapter 6, we're going to talk about verses 1 through 8. We're going to skip the Lord's Prayer. We'll go to that next week, and then we're going to cover just three more verses, 16 through 18. But tonight, we're going to take a look at the motive of man's heart, the motives of man's heart. Now, remember, when Jesus stands in front of us, does he know our hearts? Yeah, like he's like super x-ray vision. He knows our hearts. And so when we're going through the gospel, especially for the book of Matthew, you know, Jesus is constantly standing in front of these Pharisees and he's knowing their hearts, doesn't he? And so we're going to take a look at the motive of the heart behind every believer. And I wanted to just kind of propose this out to you to kind of preset the verse one. Did you know that we can do all the right things as a faithful follower of Jesus and secretly serve or elevate ourselves in that? Yeah. You agree? Oh, I got the right crowd. Maybe that was one of us at one time, you know, in the church. But did you know that we can move Jesus out of the spotlight and place ourselves into the spotlight if we're not careful? And why do I say that? Because Jesus is going to expose three areas of discipline that every believer has. And we're going to get into that. But Jesus is going to say, here's the right way to do this discipline. And then here's the wrong way to do this discipline in your life as a believer. And so he's going to clearly break that down. And I enjoyed preparing for this teaching because depending on what church or what congregation or denomination you came from, we do what we do in the church, but we really don't have this conversation together like, why do we do what we do? Why should we pray this way? Or why does he say do it this way? And so I'm really excited. We're going to break this down and just kind of have that conversation. I kind of feel like I need to put a circle of chairs and we'll just have like a Q&A afterwards, like another hour of Q&A and then end it with worship, right? And food. Yeah. And food. So, yeah. But whether you have been a believer for one day, one week, or even 40 years, these next passages we're going to read tonight come from the heart of Jesus. And you have to understand that for all of us, this isn't like a conviction type of a teaching, but it's a time for us to examine ourselves, as I had to examine myself and kind of ask those questions and reflect. But you see, Jesus loves our zeal. He loves our zeal for him. He loves our lifestyle of worship. He loves our prayer. He loves our giving. He loves our good works, the things that we do as a Christ follower. But if we practice all these individual things to feed our own pride and take the glory for ourselves in any way, we're going to see that Jesus says there will be no reward waiting for us in heaven. And he's going to constantly warn us about that. And so I want you to reflect on, do I do that? Do I need to change that? And do I want a reward in heaven? That's kind of what I did. It's like, do I do that? I want a reward in heaven. All of us want all the riches and the crown that God's going to give us, but then we throw it back at his feet, don't we? But the Bible's very clear. Did you know tonight that there are rewards in heaven awaiting for us? Do you believe that? Yeah, don't just believe me because I say it, but we do know that it's a promise of God that we have rewards in heaven. In fact, I have a couple of them up on the screen. Take a look at that, Revelation 22:12. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my what? My reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. About a year ago, I did a teaching on the two seats of judgment on a Wednesday night. And this verse is not talking about that. This verse is in particularly talking about our good works. What we have done after we've received Jesus Christ. What we have done with our gifts. Gift test, week two, my Calvary, right? What have we done with our gifts unto the Lord? And this verse is saying we have rewards. Look at the next verse, 1 Corinthians 3:8 up on the screen. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own, there's that word again, reward according to his own labor. And so we can take from that verse that each and every one of us are responsible for what we do with our time, our talents, and the gifts that God has given us. And then these promises can tell us there is a reward in heaven. Jesus in these verses 1-8 are going to constantly remind these Pharisees and scribes, hey, your reward here is on earth because you did this. But if you do it this way humbly, not pridefully, there's much, much more awaiting. I'll tell you a quick story. There was a property, believe it or not, my wife and I were looking for property here, oh my goodness, probably in 2000, my wife will correct me, probably 2001, 2003 maybe, something like that. And it was off of Grant Road, and I think it's called Cypress some Creek with the stones in the front of it. And we went in there and we picked out a lot. It was a pie-shaped lot, beautiful woods, beautiful property. And we were going to build our nice wraparound country porch, three dogs, dormers, and just live life with the rocking chairs on there. So we purchased that property. The problem was is that we had big dreams, and we purchased that property way, way, way too soon before God was ready to allow us to afford that. And so we didn't turn it for any profit, but we wound up selling it not shortly after, but maybe a year or two after. And we sold it for the same price that we bought it. But I was reminded that I got ahead of God on that. And God wants to reward us, and he wants us to trust him. And so the moral of the story, the reason why I bring this up is that God has something so much better than what I can provide for myself if I just wait on him. And don't you find that to be true? You all agree, I hear you. Yeah. And so sometimes we get focused. You know, it's just like that with our rewards in heaven. We can either clamor to the rewards that we think we need or want now, or God has something so much better for us waiting in heaven if we do it the way we're going to learn tonight in these areas. And so in tonight's teaching, we're going to learn about three disciplines that are going to impact every single person's life, and the rewards for us to receive here on earth, the rewards in heaven will be far more worth waiting for. So I've titled this teaching, Three Greatest Disciplines for Every Believer. Check down in verse 1, that's where we're going to start. Underline that word in your Bible, be careful. Be careful. Now, this is Jesus. He's given us a warning. He says, be careful. Caution. Acknowledge. Pay attention to what I'm about to tell you here. I don't want you to go down the wrong road with what I'm about to say, Jesus says. He says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So in order to understand this verse, we have to look at what is righteousness. What is righteousness? Because if we're going to practice righteousness. Let's just understand, church, what is righteousness? I kind of put it this way. Righteousness is morally upright without guilt or without sin. And as believers, we know that we have received righteousness from who? From Jesus Christ, because he is righteous. When the Holy Spirit came into us, we received his righteousness. We were made righteous in him. He transferred that righteousness. And so we've kind of taken on that t-shirt or that label, right? And this is how God intended it to be. But righteousness is something we become because of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And so Jesus has imparted this righteousness in us. But what are we to do with that? Well, we're to take that righteousness in Christ, we're in Christ, we're to operate our lives and walk our lives out with the righteousness cloak that Christ puts on us, amen? And we're not always perfect at that. That's why we have the Holy Spirit to kind of talk to us a little bit about it. Like, that's not what I want you to do. That's not the way you are to respond. But know this tonight, that we do walk in righteousness. But we go back to verse 1, it says, be careful not to practice your righteousness. Well, how do we practice righteousness? What does that mean? We're righteous, we get that. But then what is he talking about when we practice righteousness? Well, it means we live out. We do good deeds. We serve one another. We walk in righteousness. Everything about us should be pointing to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And when we do these good deeds, aka serve, care for one another, tithe, pray, volunteer, do things with good intentions, we do it only to please the Lord. Now, here's the problem with verse 1. If we're doing it for others to see us, then we've got a heart issue, don't we? This is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, be careful. Now, why is Jesus telling us to be careful? Because he knows our heart. He knows we can get sidetracked. He knows that if God gives us a place or a platform or authority or a gift or something that people are attracted to, that we have to be careful that they're not attracted to the man or the gift. And it's so easy to do that in church, isn't it? We admire people. We are blessed tonight because of the gifts of others in our body. But we have to be careful, if we're that person with the gift, that we don't start believing our press, right? We have to be humble. We have to walk in humility, and we have to understand that we're walking in righteousness. We don't practice it to be seen. And this is what Jesus is saying. He says, be careful. Don't do that. Don't draw attention to yourself. And let me ask you, is it possible for people in church to be doing all the right things for all the wrong reasons? Yeah. Anybody want to come up here and preach the rest of the sermon? I'll sit down and laugh with you. Yeah. We can do that. All of us can do that. Well, what would some of these reasons be? What does that look like if people are practicing things to be seen? Here's 6 reasons I'm going to give you. Maybe we do things to impress the pastor or leadership or people. And I think of my early years in the Melbourne campus. And I'll never forget this. I remember Pastor Mark was walking down one of the aisles in the sanctuary, and one of the ushers knew that he was in the vicinity, and there was something on the thing, and he really had to stretch underneath there to get that off the thing and go throw it away, you know. And I just kind of watched that, and I thought, well, was that natural? And, you know, will that person clean up the floor under the chairs after the service every time, or was that just because Pastor Mark was in the vicinity, you see? And I don't judge. Don't hate me. I'm not judging, but I'm just saying we have to be careful of our motives. I have to be careful of my motives. You have to be careful of our motives. How many of you kind of like act right when someone walks in the room that you want to impress? Yeah, thank you. A few honest people. I got the right crowd. Yeah. Here's another thing. We do these things to win approval or applause from men. We do these things with hidden motives. If I do this, what can I gain? What can I get on? Here's another one. If we do these things, people will think we're spiritual. Or if we do these things, we do them for acceptance because we have low self-image and we need a boost of self-value. We're accepted easier by people if we're always serving, if we're always doing things. And we have to be careful that when we do these things, because anytime you're in a conversation and you hear, I did this, I made it possible, if you're in a conversation and you hear that I, that's boasting. That's seeking attention. But if you hear somebody, there's a better way to do that. It's like, the Lord really blessed the youth. The Lord really moved on that group of people, you know? I've never heard Pastor Joey say, well, the youth was awesome because I'm leading it. You know, I don't hear Joey say I. I hardly ever see him say I. What I hear him say is, those kids were amazing. They're stepping up. Those leaders were awesome. See, there's a difference there, isn't there? See, if we have to take that ownership and boast about that, that's pride. Jesus is saying in this verse 1, be careful. Be careful you don't do that. Don't have the wrong motive. Don't have the wrong intentions. Here's something to help us with all that and help me. It's up on the screen, Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Whatever you do, here we go to the good deeds, your righteousness, right? Your things you do in righteousness. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a, where's that word? Reward. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving. See, if we focus on everything that we do, I was just telling somebody tonight, I said, man, we have 66% of this church volunteering in this church. And I said, now that's like crazy percentages for a church. I'm so proud of you guys. Did I ever tell you that stat? I think I did. That's an amazing stat. I'm so proud of you. And why do we do that? Because we know that God wants to use all of us for the body to edify one another. And you guys are doing a great, great job. But sometimes we can get into that little weirdness, like, did the pastor recognize what I did? Or I do that. I can do that with Pastor Mark sometimes. Well, why didn't he ask me to teach? Why is Dave Folkerts up there on the screen? It's been a year. I'm down here doing this. Right? We have to be so, so careful. So this verse, it is the Lord Jesus Christ you're serving. It kind of resets us, doesn't it? It resets our heart. It just says, I'm here for the Lord, and I need to be good with that, and whatever you want to do with that, Lord, that's okay. And so you may say, well, Pastor David, why does, and we just went over Matthew 5:16, Pastor Winston taught that. Why does Matthew 16 say, tell us to let others see our good works? I thought you said that's prideful. I have it up on the screen. Look at Matthew 5:16. Let's read it. It says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works. Now, I want to stop right there. That kind of contradicts Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 in a way, doesn't it? No, not really, no. Right, because what does it say here? And give glory to your Father who is in heaven. See, there's a difference here. Let your light shine means that we are to go out into the world. We're the light of the world. We are the light of Jesus. We are the light in the darkness because Jesus left us here to do that. But he's saying, go and let your shine. Do good works. But when they recognize, why are you here? Why are you painting this church? Why are you picking up trash? Well, we're just doing it because we love the Lord. We just want to bless somebody. See, now it's glorifying the Lord. It's not like, yes, we're the best church ever. We do all the community works. Come to Calvary Chapel, right? No, it's we do this because the Lord's changed our lives. He's made an impact on us, and we want to share that with you. Do you have a minute? What's your story? You want to go for coffee? Let our light shine before others. I put it this way. You and I are to be seen doing good works, but we must not do good works simply to be seen. That's the difference between those two verses. And so what we do should bring glory to God and recognition to God and not ourselves. And I will say this, when we do that, people may not want to meet Jesus outside of these doors when they're with you, but they met you as you reflect on Jesus. You, me, all of us may be the closest thing to Jesus that people will ever come to for now, because God has a plan for them. And so that's why we're to glorify God, humble ourselves out there and do that. Now, the rest of these passages we're going to cover tonight will give us examples of various ways of how we are to practice righteousness. And then these passages are going to warn us how to stay humble in the process. So how do we practice them? And then how do we stay humble in that process? And so these three spiritual disciplines are giving, prayer, and fasting. The first spiritual principle of discipline is giving. Look down at verse 2 in your Bibles. Remember, Jesus is speaking. He says, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets. Brum, 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 brum. I did a good deed, right? Don't announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. You know what Jesus says? I had a promise and a reward for you in heaven, but you already did it because you did it for the wrong motive. You let everybody know what you were doing over here in this situation. Jesus is basically saying the one who gives for the sheer purpose or motive to hear the applause of others, Jesus says then that person should enjoy the applause for now because that will be all the reward he will receive. See, if we're doing things to gain the applause of others, just know that that's all the reward Jesus is going to give us. Look at verse 3. He goes on, but rather, now here's the contrast. He says, don't do that. That's not the right way to give. But he says, rather, when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. So let's break that verse down a little bit, okay? There are two categories of giving that the Bible talks about. One of the categories, I know I'm going to go into tithing, but that's okay. We're going to stick with this because this is where the pastor took us. There's two ways or two categories of giving that the Bible commands us to do. One is tithing and the second is alms, A-L-M-S. This passage right here, giving to the needy, that's alms, okay? And what is alms? I have it up on the screen. Alms, or giving of alms, is above tithing and additional to those who are in need. Alms, literally in the Greek word, means to loan to God, to loan to God. And so this is how this looks. When you say give to the needy, don't get this picture of like kids in Haiti on a poster and you adopt one for the year and send your $30 check every month. That's one way, that's alms above, they're in need, that's true. Or don't think of just the homeless, you know, who don't have any food. Those are good. Or the guy standing on a corner sign holding a cardboard and you give him a $5 bill. Or some of you just go, well, he might be a drug addict, I'll just go to McDonald's and get him a meal and then I'll give him a bag of food. That's okay too. Whatever you're doing. But this passage right here, he's saying, this is above tithing. This isn't about the storehouse, the church. This is above that. And Jesus is saying, give to the needy. Well, who's in need? Is there anybody here in this room that has not been in need in the last year? Raise your hand. Have you not been in need? Okay. Raise your hand if you've been in need. Emotionally, physically, financially, spiritually? Yeah. And I bet you, you were blessed when someone poured into that need. Amen? And Jesus is saying, so alms isn't just about the almighty dollar. And if it means to give, to loan to God, you know, in my heart, I was thinking about that. If I loan something to God, you think I dare go to him and go, you gonna give that back now? No. I wouldn't do that. I dare you to do that. But no, the reason why it means that is because when we give an alms, we do it from our heart. We give to the ones who are in need, and we go, Jesus, that one's for you. And no one needs to know about it. We don't get a megahorn and a trumpet and a three-piece band and begin to tell people what we do. Now, you can share the God moment. You can share the prayer if you prayed with them. You can share that. But God says in this area of giving, do that in secret, and you will be blessed. How many of you have done something in secret and the Lord has just blessed you in the spirit so richly? Look around you. Look at the hands. God blesses you. And it's through the spirit. And he's not always going to drop a check in the mail and go, well, my taxes came back. No, but he's going to bless you abundantly. Maybe it's just a spiritual blessing, a refilling of himself in you for doing that. And so this is what he's talking about here. Here's another example, mission trips, supporting an individual, food for someone in need, paying an electric bill confidentially. Call the electric company, call the water company and Sebastian and go, hey, how's this address doing? How's this account doing? I just want to pay the next 6 months. I know they're struggling. It could be anything like that. Given to a perfect stranger that we may never meet again and we may never get a thank you. Those are alms. And God is aware of our alms and our giving, and he is our rewarder. The second category of giving, obviously, is tithing. And I have it up on the screen. We'll go quickly through this because if you've been to this church at any time, we've got